Welcome to the Life Church Podcast. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you are ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Very happy Easter to you. We're going to be looking at Matthew 28. You can't preach on anything else today, can you, apart from the resurrection? Imagine if I'd opened the Bible this morning and I said, I want to talk to you this morning about, I don't know, what could it be? I want to talk to you about, oh man, I've missed my point now, haven't I, really? I'm going to look at the parable of the talents today. You'd think, oh no, it's Easter, you need to talk about Easter. So that's what we're going to do anyway. The resurrection is the most significant event in the history of mankind. There's no doubt about it. It defines the gospel. It's the reason why the church exists. Everything in history looked towards that plan of redemption that God had for mankind, and everything from there looks forward to what God has in plan, has in store for those that love Him. A guy called Tim Keller, he's gone to heaven now, but he said this about the resurrection. He said, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept what he said. If he did not rise from the dead, then why worry about what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. And this morning, as followers of Jesus, we believe that he has risen from the dead. We believe it for many reasons. One of them is because the scripture tells us. And probably for me personally now, being a Christian for quite a while, if you were to say to me, why do you believe that Jesus lives? Yeah, I would respond with that old song. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And I think, yes, that was in honor of my father Eric, who used to love that song. And but it's true. Okay, our experience is that he lives within our heart. For me as a follower of Jesus today, that's the greatest assurance that I have that Christ is alive, because I know he lives in my heart. But then we have the evidence of scripture and history and people's accounts as well that tell us that Jesus is alive. So Matthew 28, the first 10 verses of Matthew, the account of the resurrection is recorded in all four of the Gospels. It's one of the few events that all four Gospel writers took the time to record. They took the time to record it because it's important to us, yeah? If we believe the gospel, we believe that Jesus is who he said he is and was, then it's important that we understand that he died and he rose again from the dead. And so this is what it says in Matthew 28. Remember, Matthew was one of Jesus' disciples, and he wrote down this account for us. It says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There there they will see me. This morning, as we reflect upon these scriptures, I want to look particularly at the words that the angel said to those women. And this morning, as I was just here, kind of meditating on what I might say at the start of what I want to say to you this morning, the thing that really struck me was this, that God is so kind, even in our moments of disappointment or when we don't understand what's going on. Just to think about the emotions of those women had as they went to the tomb. They didn't go to the tomb because it was Easter morning and they were going to have an Easter egg, yeah? They didn't know that Jesus had risen from the dead as they went. So they were going with a sense of defeat and disappointment, yeah? Things had not worked out like they had worked out. They didn't understand that this was all of kind of God's plan and that God had it covered. And the fact is that in our lives, in whatever situation we find ourselves in, Life Church this morning, listen, things take us by surprise. But listen, nothing takes God by surprise. Nothing takes. And so, whereas they would have been in a situation of maybe feeling quite overwhelmed, and who of us this morning would say that we've not felt overwhelmed in life at some point? We do feel overwhelmed. There are massive challenges that we face, you know, issues of kind of mental health, issues of feeling overwhelmed by circumstances. But this morning, you know what the angel said to them as they arrived at the tomb? He didn't say to them straight away, he didn't try and fix them and just say, Jesus has risen from the dead and so everything will just be okay. No, the first thing that the angel says to him, before even announcing the most amazing event that had happened in history, the first thing that the angel says, and the first thing that God wants to say to you and he wants to say to me this morning is he says to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid when life throws a curveball at you, yeah? Do not be afraid when you're walking towards a place of what you feel is disappointment. Do not be afraid if it seems that the road has been blocked and things do not make sense. Do not be afraid. And as the word of the Lord came to those women, the first thing that Jesus in his greatness wanted them to understand is that as they came to a tomb where they thought the body of this man who they thought was going to be all of these different things to them, the first thing he said to them was, do not be afraid. The crucifixion of a person in the context of the Roman world was a horrific thing. It was that if the Roman Empire said that you were to be crucified, it was a death sentence. Like no one got a get out of jail free card when you'd been sentenced to be crucified. And the angel in that first verse, in verse 5, says these words, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. What it meant was that Jesus had been crucified on a cross. Not only was the Roman crucifixion a place of pain, it was also a place of shame. It was a place where people would mock you and laugh at you and ridicule you. And as we reflect upon why it was this morning for us as followers of Christ that Jesus was crucified on a cross, it's humbling and it's uncomfortable this morning, but the truth is in Scripture that the reason why Jesus was crucified on a cross was that he could take our sin upon himself. There's a verse here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And in a world where everyone, in the spirit of the world, there can be a sense where everyone is trying to blame someone else, yeah? If you can get away with it, blame someone else, deflect it onto someone else. It's not my responsibility, it's their responsibility. We see it in the workplace, we see it in politics. You know, it's nothing to do with us, it's them, it's their fault, it's someone else's fault. We're not willing to hold our hands up. What we see demonstrated in what Christ did for us is we see the ultimate taking the blame of others upon himself. He was willing to take our blame. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, God forgave all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. You see, that's what Christ has done for you and me this morning. He has taken our indebtedness. He has taken our record of debt. He's taken the IOU that was written against us that we could never pay back because we're just not good enough. This morning, as followers of Christ, as we reflect upon the cross, what the cross meant for us, the reason why Jesus was crucified, it was so that Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, the perfect Savior, could take your wrongdoing and my wrongdoing upon him, and he could pay the debt in full. The Bible says in Corinthians, listen to this, yeah? He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we could be made right with God through Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And this morning, Life Church, he didn't just take a bit of our sin. He didn't take the worst bits of our sin or the best bits of our sin. Like in every way that we could ever offend God or rebel against God, the things that we know that we've done in our lives that we wouldn't talk to anyone else about. The wonderful truth this morning is that as Christ was crucified on the cross, he took my sin and he took your sin upon himself. And as Jesus was on the cross, I believe that there are the words that Jesus spoke on the cross where he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, as we think about the cross, it was a terrible thing, the cross. It was a terrible way to die, yeah? But for me this morning, that was only part of the sacrifice that Christ made. There was the physical suffering that Christ took, and that was enough, yeah? For someone else to do that for us when it wasn't their fault, it wasn't their responsibility to take the blame for us, to take our indebtedness upon themselves. It was a wonderful thing. But the thing that for me that is so marvelous is that in that moment where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's something that he said from the cross. That for me was the greatest cost. Because as Jesus said those words, what he was acknowledging was the fact that because he had your sin and my sin upon him on the cross, it meant that for the first time in eternity, the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit were not in communion. Because the Father could not look upon Jesus. Why? Because he had your sin and he had my sin upon him. And for me, that is such a cost that the Son of God would take my sin and that the Father would turn away from him in that moment because he could not look upon Lucas's sin as they were upon Jesus. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says that Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Okay? So this morning, Life Church, be in no doubt, okay, that was the mission of the cross, to take your sin and my sin upon himself. He who had no sin became sin for us so that we could become right in the sight of God. So as the angel met those women that morning, the first thing that she said, that the angel said to them was, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. And he really was crucified. The second thing the angel says to them is, The angel says to them, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." He is not here. He was risen. So as we reflect upon the Easter narrative, we have to remember that it's good to acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross for our sin, but notice that the angel doesn't stay there, okay? Because if the cross was just the cross and a man died upon a cross, he said he was a good man. We know he was more than that, but he said he was a good man, but he died upon the cross. It would have just been a fable. It would have just been a fairy tale. It would have just been something that happened 2,000 years ago to a person who was a good teacher. But you see, the angel doesn't stay at the cross. The angel moves on from the cross and she says, "Hey, listen, he's not here. He is risen just as he said he would." And as we look at Scripture, we see that there is evidence, so much evidence for the fact that Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus himself talked about the fact that he would rise from the dead. Again, as you look at the Easter narrative, as we look about Jesus dying on a cross on Calvary, as we think about him rising from the dead, don't think today as we go through this period of thinking about Christ and his resurrection. Listen, the cross and the resurrection did not take Jesus by surprise, yeah? Jesus didn't hang on the cross and think, "How on earth did I get here? What is this all about?" Yeah, Jesus didn't rise from the dead and say, "Whoa, that was a surprise. I wasn't expecting that to happen." Yeah, all of it was in the purpose of God. Jesus himself said in John chapter 2, verse 19, he said, "Destroy this temple," talking about his body, and he says, "I will raise it up again in 3 days." That's what Jesus said about himself. Yeah, Jesus said, in John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up." You see, Jesus was not surprised by the cross. He was not surprised by his resurrection. Jesus knew what he was doing. It was part of the plan of redemption that God had put into place. And even as we look at the most earliest Christian creeds, the creed that's written in 1 Corinthians 15, do you remember we did that series recently about that stuff that we believe? One of the earliest Christian creeds, they believed that it was penned, it was written down within months or certainly years from the time that Christ rose from the dead. When Paul writes this to the church at Corinth, he says, I bring you of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. The scholar N.T. Wright, he says that this statement, this creed, was probably formed within the first 2 or 3 years after Easter itself. It was formed and written because Christ had risen from the dead, because death could not hold him. Death could not hold him. The reason why death could not hold Jesus in the grave is because Jesus was sinless. Death could not hold him down. When death takes hold of us, we don't come back to life again, yeah? But as death tried to get hold of the Son of God and keep him in the grave, because he was sinless, because he was the perfect Son of God, death could not hold him in the grave. And that is why Jesus rose from the dead. He rose because it was planned that way. It was always going to be that way. But he rose because death could not hold him in the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, the verse will come up on the screen here. Paul writes about the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of Christ, and our resurrection as well, and the hope that we have this morning. And he writes these words. He says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? For the sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But Christ has broken the hold that death has on us." And this morning, Life Church, I want us to leave this place this morning recognizing that because of what Christ has done for us, that we don't need to be afraid of death in our lives, yeah? We don't need to be afraid. Death is something that will come to all of us. But this morning, as followers of Christ, we need to understand that because of what Jesus has done for us, that the death doesn't have victory over us. There is no sting in death anymore because of what Christ has done for us. Because of what he has done for us, we don't need to be anxious about death swallowing us up because Christ has won the victory. Final thing this morning, Life Church, as we step into our Easter Sunday, the angels said to those women as they went to the tomb, they said, "Do not be afraid. Jesus, who was crucified, he is risen." And the last thing that they say to them is in verse 7, they say, "Now then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee." The message I want to leave with us this morning as we step into the rest of our Easter Sunday is that, yeah, Christ did die upon a cross for you and me this morning, that Christ is risen from the dead. But then the angel tells those people, those first witnesses at the tomb, that they have a responsibility to go and tell. And what we see in the New Testament is we see a group of people that understood that the uniqueness of their faith and this faith they'd found in following Jesus was that they had this message that said, "He has risen. Jesus is alive." And Peter and John, they went through those first early years of being the church leaders, and that was their mantra. That was the mantra. That's the thing that they told others around them. As you look through the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5, like, what is the early church saying every time they meet together or every time there's a moment of proclamation? What they're saying are these words: Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. It was, if you like, it was their USP. It was the thing that made this Christian faith unique, that Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, had risen from the dead. Acts chapter 2, verse 24, what did they say about Jesus? "But God raised him from the dead." Acts chapter 3, verse 15, "God raised Jesus from the dead." Acts chapter 4, verse 10, "God raised Jesus from the dead." Acts chapter 5, verse 30, "God raised Jesus from the dead." Yeah, we get the idea. And so this morning, Life Church, as we step into this Easter Sunday and all that, you know, all that we'll enjoy today, and as we step into another week, the week that approaches, like, let's remember this morning, Life Church, that we are a resurrection people. That's what makes us different. That we believe that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. And all that we do, Life Church, we do it in the name of Jesus. We don't do stuff because we're good people, okay? Some of us maybe are better than others, I don't know. But we do things because we love Jesus and we understand the difference that Jesus has made in our lives. I want us, in this season of life, as we follow Jesus together as a church community, that we will understand what it is to have an absolute confidence in the gospel. And that confidence, it grows out of our relationship with Jesus. And as we believe that Christ has risen from the dead, that Jesus is a living Savior, like, that's a challenge to us. That if that is true and we believe it is, then what difference is Christ making in our lives today as we follow him? I want us to be a people that have a confidence in the gospel, that we understand what we believe, why we believe it. We understand the difference it's made in our lives. And that isn't something that stays with us, but it's something that overflows out of our lives. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he gave them this statement of faith. He said to them, "By this gospel, you are saved." Life Church, this morning, by this gospel, you are saved. Yeah, you're not saved because this is a great church or there's good worship, or you're a good person. Yeah, you're not saved by those things. They don't save you. They're good things, but they don't save you. The only thing that saves you is the gospel. Life Church this morning, by this gospel, you are saved. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. But God raised him from the dead. Life Church, let's be a confident resurrection people. When I was growing up, there was a guy in the church. His name was Jack. We all loved Uncle Jack because he used to give us boiled sweets. Always wonder why all his teeth were falling out. That was why. But Uncle Jack was great. Okay? He was a resurrection person. He was a resurrection man. He knew what it was to be part of the resurrection people. Because what he did, he used to wear a massive badge. I mean, it was as big as a pan on a frying pan. It was massive. And what it said on this massive badge was these words: Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And just as that was the mantra of the early church, that was the statement that they gathered around, yeah? That this Jesus whom you crucified, God raised him from the dead and he's alive, yeah? That was Uncle Jack's thing that he said, like, Jesus is alive. And so that statement, it either unifies us or it offends people. Because if it's true, and we believe it is true this morning, then all that Jesus said and done is true. And as Tim Keller said at the start of my preach this morning, and I'll read this statement as I finish, and, you know, let this encourage you to be people who are resurrection people. Tim Keller said, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all he said. If he did not rise from the dead, then why worry about what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. And this morning, Life Church, by this gospel you are saved. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And because of that, this morning, Life Church, we are a resurrection people. And we're going to be a resurrection people. That's our thing. That's the thing that we believe in. We believe that Jesus is alive.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Please keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.